everybody look to it.
Pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on tonight. We present ourselves to you in training school in order to get understanding of your word. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. And we just appreciate all that you have done for us and what you're even doing as we speak. And we glorify you, y'all. We just thank you for our Savior, Yehoshua. We acknowledge him on every occasion as you are the primary source by which he even exists. We praise you. In his wonderful name we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. One of the things I want to deal with, I'm not finished with this yet. I was talking to one of the ladies that I trained, and so there were some things in the, that was in the discussion that has led me to even deal with this topic even more in detail. But I'm gonna cover what I dealt with on a post or yesterday morning. But I want to just kind of explain to you some things from that perspective. And the title of it basically is the abnormal has become the norm. The abnormal has become the norm. And the way I started out dealing with this was I started out basically saying in a nutshell, I feel like a square peg in a round hole. So out of place. And before I get into the lesson even in more detail, it is vitally important for you to understand that you're going to be feeling this same way. Things that we've dealt with from a perspective of understanding how things are going to be in these last days, and it puts it puts us in position whereby we're not or should not be surprised by anything that we experience from a perspective of this abnormal. Now, I want to deal with the definitions of this here before I go into explaining this, and then you know, we'll be on the same page as far as to do this. You know, I can tell you what I mean. I just really give you definition because I like the way that the definition has it worded here. So just give me a minute as I pull this information up. I didn't plan on. Hating this thing, but. Okay, now, in dealing with this, as far as the abnormal not being the norm, when you look at the word abnormal, and it also is kind of a derivative for RA, I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for, anonym for the norm, so to speak. And so when you look at it, it means things that, in a nutshell, usual, deviating from the standard. In other words, there are standard things that should be in place when you look at things in society. And it's vitally important for you to understand that these things are not going to be they're not going to be typical, or they're not going to be usual. And I'll give you an example of this. It is usual for siblings to have love for one another. That's the usual thing. In other words, when you look at, not from a, just a perspective of society, but when you look at how things were intended to be or how things usually are, you know, the parents are close to their kids and all these things that when you look at it from a perspective of abnormal, it is letting you know that these things which are usual, they're not happening. They're not according to the usual. So normally when you would have a parent being close to their children for whatever reason or another, this abnormality, it makes it the opposite of that. And the things that I'm going to go into as y'all leave me, it most likely will be tomorrow. It just depends. You know, y'all is the source by which I write. And so, you know, I may have a mind to write, but you know, the pen is not ready until y'all deals with me to release me to do some things. And so, so as he was getting me ready for this particular topic on yesterday morning, I was restless, man. I had probably, you know, been, you know, just kind of up and around probably about 2 o'clock that morning, and it stayed that way until he finally said, okay, right. You know, that's how he tell me when it's time. He just said right. That's all he'll say is right. And so my mind was all over the place. I mean, all over the place yesterday morning. I mean, I was thinking about everything. And there was a lot of information that was running through my mind. And so my mind was just all over the place. And so I knew God was dealing with me about, or he was going to deal with me about writing. I just didn't know what, because, like I said, my mind was all over the place. Then when he said write, I had no idea what I was going to write. Went to sit down at the computer, and when I went to sit down at the computer, that's when he gave me the towel. You know, the abnormal has become the norm. And when he did, first thought, he enters in and said, okay, express how you feel. And so from the towel itself and how I felt, that's why I said I feel like a square peg in a round hole. I mean, when you look at, you know, as a kid, how you're trying to match things up, and you find, you know, I used to, you know, look at kids when they were trying to learn how to distinguish their shapes and things like that. They would, you know, fill around with that square peg and try to get in that round hole, and then finally they keep working around until they get in the square peg, so to speak. And so from that standpoint, and looking at what's going on in the world, I was weary. I was weary all that morning. That's why I was, you know, kind of up so long, because I was weary, but it wasn't weary from a perspective of anxiety or stress or disappointment or whatever. It wasn't from that perspective. It was weariness from the burden of understanding things the way that I do, and then looking at the world that I see. From my mind, even you, as you're continuing to grow and things like that, when, you know, as we understand the scriptures, we understand who we are and all these different things, it becomes a burden to look at the world that we see and then walk in the understanding that we have. And so from doing that, I feel the pressure of my calling, what I've been chosen to do. I feel the pressure of it, and not an anxiety standpoint, but the burden for the love of people, the way God has put it in my heart, to love people and then to know what's going to happen to people and to know how things are going to be carried out in this earth. And I just want to just grab everybody, you know, I just want to grab everybody like a parent and just, you know, just hug the world and say, come on, y'all, this is what we got to do to be in fellowship with y'all, or to be ready when Yahushua and Mashiach come. you know, I just want to grab the world and just think, y'all, come on, see, it's happening this way. But I know that people are not going to understand these things. So he's changing my course right now as I'm speaking. So we're still going to deal with the topic, but from the point of view of feeling like a square peg in a round hole, so out of place, go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 2. Oh, we may look at 3, but I just want to show you some things concerning Ezekiel's mindset to give you a somewhat of a feeling, understanding of how, you know, how I'm seeing things and how I'm written, you know, how I'm feeling things. And then at the same time, y'all, I saw Ezekiel 2 because y'all spoke some things to me concerning Ezekiel 2. And then we'll look in here. So we'll move forward, rather. Ezekiel 2, verse 1. This is after Ezekiel sees Yah, and he falls on his, he falls down, you know, on his face, so to speak, because he's in the presence of Yah. It amazed me how many people talk about what they would do if they was in the presence. You know, if I see Yah, you know, I'd run up to him and you know, and hug him and all that. No, we run into the creator of all things. You know, it's going to be so overwhelming to the point to where it's like Ezekiel says, and you can go look at it in chapter 1. Ezekiel's like, man, I felt like I was dead. I just fell flat out of my face. And the spirit had to come up on me to get me up. I was so overwhelmed with his presence. And that's the same way, you know, I've been in some of my experiences that I've had with Yah. When I had those experiences, I was so overwhelmed that I was, you know, I was like ready to run. First time I saw some stuff, I was like, okay, you don't have to show me that anymore. I don't mind if I don't have to see that no more. It was so overwhelming, and what I'm describing is the first time Yah allowed me to see how he sees, it scared the heck out of me. It's like he removed the scales off my eyes as mankind or as his creation to let me see how he sees. And when he did that, I jumped up and started running, and I was like, I don't want to see that no more. Because when he allowed me to see how he sees, it's like I was no longer in the house, but the house was inside me. That's how I thought. And I had this weird way of praying back in the day when I first started having my encounters with Yah and started to, you know, to preach and the different things like this. I was having these encounters, and so he, for some strange reason, I'm saying strange because it's still strange to me at this day. I used to always, for some reason, go in the bathroom and I used to, you know, let the top down on the commode, and I used to put my, you know, head on the commode and pray. I don't know why. This is why I used to always go pray initially. So, and the majority of my revelations still come from in that area. So I used to go in there and just pray. Over the commode, you know, let's top down, just pray on the commode. Well, this particular time I'm praying on the commode, he decides to let me see how he sees. And when I opened my eyes, the commode looked like it was about the size of a top, you know, those old fold-out tops. The commode looked about that size when I opened my eyes, and it looked like the house was inside of me. And I'm looking down at this commode, so I jumped up and started running. Because I was like, okay, I don't want to see that like that no more. You know, don't show me that kind of stuff. I was like the children of Israel, you know, when they saw Yah on the side of that mountain, you know, they was like, oh, Moses, you go. We don't need to have those experiences no more. I was the same way. I was like, I don't want to see none of that no more. I'm just fine, you know, not seeing nothing, you know, kind of deal. So from that perspective, again, it's like when I saw through Yah's eyes that particular day, it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. It's like everything was inside me. Everything looked small. It's like I was in tune with everything. I was in tune with everything. I was in touch with everything. I could feel everything. I could see everything. And it's like everything was small. And like I said, it felt like the house was in me. That's the best way I can explain it. It's like the house was inside of me. I was no longer inside the house. The house was inside of me. And that's how I felt, because I was looking down on it, and it looked so puny and so inadequate. And then I got an understanding of how Yah see us apart from Him. We just some little puny little old something, you know, insignificant creation without being connected to Him. We're nothing. We're as dumb. So I understand what the prophets mean when they, you know, when they make certain statements about their adequacy from a perspective of, or inadequacy from the perspective of comparing themselves with Yah. No comparison whatsoever. Not even close. Okay? And so that experience allowed me to realize, boy, I'm dealing with someone who is way much more than anything I could ever even come close to even thinking of being, you know. And so as you look at Ezekiel 2, verse 1, this is Ezekiel, especially when you come from chapter 1. Let me just go to chapter 1 at the latter part just to kind of get you guys to see it. So Ezekiel is seeing these angels. You know, you get a lot of people that says angels have two wings. Anytime you see somebody, you know, there's a lot of circulation on Facebook where they would say, you know, they were showing on Facebook where these two angels flew out of some clouds, and you get church folks, I mean, even preachers, even my old covenant brothers, you know, we got the same power. Even they were saying, praise God, hallelujah. I'm like, you idiots, read the Bible. I'm like, you read the Bible. Angels don't have no two wings. You know, you deal with them cherubim, they will blow your mind when you actually look at how the scriptures describe them. Ezekiel chapter 1 describes how the cherubim look, the angels look. They had face like a man on one side, face like an eagle on the other side, face like a lion on one side, and I'm trying to remember the other one. I have to look at it here. I'm all over the place now. And so, so their feet like calf's foot. And so, you don't want to deal with these angels, these cherubims. And so, when you look at it, you get people that try to say, man, I had encounters with angels and stuff like that. Yeah, they can. Certain ones can appear in certain fasts and things like that, but you don't want to deal with one of them. You start talking about them in their full appearance, but there's something that will blow your mind. And so when you live, the Bible calls them living creatures and things like that, but they were cherubim. And so they're the ones that are around the thrones of Yah. We looked at pictures of them or somewhat of them, and I think the other one was like a bull or something like that on one side. It had verse 10. Ezekiel 1 verse 10, face of a man, face of a lion on one side, face of an ox, in other words, the face of an eagle. And so, here's how this cherubim look. You got a being that is described as an angel that has four faces, multiple wings. Some of them have been six wings. So when you see that little two-winged stuff, that's some man that threw up there. And you get people talking about he had encounters with angels. He has the two prettiest wings. It ain't the one about them he talked about. And so it's just vitally important for us to make sure that we walk and understand as far as the scripture is concerned. These are awesome beings, these cherubims and angels and different things like that. I know these cherubims you get people that talk about different levels of them, cherubims, seraphim, angels, and things like that. And so, you know, all the ones I read about, there are more than two wings. So if you run across anybody, somebody saw a two-winged angel, it just don't line up with scriptures and things like that. When you start, doing the research on the scriptures, all of them, at least this point, from what I've studied, they got six. And so as Ezekiel is having this experience, he's basically seeing how y'all move around. Now I'm gonna say this. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to jump out of it because, you know, I don't want you to take this and run with it. When you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, all descriptions of how y'all travel in spaceships, what they commonly understand spaceship. That's why you see a lot of movies that show spaceship invading, because they read Ezekiel chapter 1, and everything that Ezekiel is describing, it describes a spaceship, just straight up. That's what they're describing. So people say, okay, how does Yah travel? Do he just fly around, you know, with wings and all this stuff? The scripture points out that it's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. What is a wheel in the middle of a wheel when you got a man who's never seen anything like this before, and he's describing how Yah and these angels are traveling, are moving about. And so all signs point to that the actual method by which Yah travels, it gives the impression that it's some form of unidentified flying object. Read Ezekiel chapter 1. As he described the appearance, and I saw colors of amber, verse 27. Ezekiel 1, verse 27, I saw as the coals of amber and the pillars of fire round about within it, from the appearance of the loins even upward. He's describing what he's seeing Yah and these angels and how they're moving about and different things like that. And so when you look at the appearance of it, all appearances show that this possibly may be some form of unidentified flying object, or what we come to understand as spaceship. And so when you look at these things happening from a perspective of Ezekiel chapter 1, and you see, you know, maybe a lot of unidentified flying objects that you hear people talk about and things like that, it may be different methods by which angels travel from all appearances as far as Ezekiel chapter 1 is concerned. Now, I'll share that kind of information with you guys, but I don't go around just saying, well, you know, because it really doesn't identify or say their spaceship, but all signs point to it very well, maybe, okay? Because when you look at the description of it, the wheels in the middle of the wheel, how they move, how they function, different things like that. So, but again, Ezekiel see this stuff. Verse 28, he says, as the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud, in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. A bow, so he's looking at this object that Yah is on, and all description that he's describing gives you, like, whatever it is, it got a lot of things around it, the sapphire, all these different colors around it, and that's why when you see them trying to show spaceship and moves, it got all these different kind of colors and stuff like that, because that's what they're interpreting in these movies as the same thing. So they get all this stuff from Ezekiel chapter 1. Okay? You also even have, as far as ancient tombs and things like that, they have drawings of the spaceships on these tombs. Those Egyptian tombs and stuff like that, you go look at some of them, they got spaceships drawn on them. And so, so it just makes you wonder. But in verse 28 said, and the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And I saw it and fell upon my face and heard a voice of one that spake. Voice of one that spake. So he falls on his face. Look at chapter 2 now, verse 1. Said, he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. Well, he goes on in verse 3, and he's saying concerning our nation, because our nation is in captivity. This is violent war. And it coincides with what I'm talking about, where I'm saying the abnormal has become the norm. Here our nation is in captivity. In verse 3, when you go to chapter 1, they were in captivity in Babylon. They was in a Babylonian captivity. And so verse 3, Yah is still telling Ezekiel, he's not speaking to this people. Verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Now he said the children of Israel, letting us know that Judah now and the northern tribes are back together, because he's not saying Judah. He said, send them, okay, children of Israel. So when Judah goes into captivity, the northern tribe were already, the 10 tribes were already in that captivity because Babylon had conquered Assyria. So now Israel is back together. That's why Jeremiah says that, I believe in 49, 50, somewhere up in there. Okay, now he says, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. They're in captivity still doing it, just like we in captivity today still doing it. And it's a burdensome thing. And you see in Ezekiel, as we continue to look at this, he tells Ezekiel now, he says, verse 4, for they are imprisoned children and stiff-necked. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Jehovah Yah. He tells them, he said, now don't be afraid of them. Verse 6, he said, don't be afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their look. Though they be a rebellious house, this is highly important for us to understand. We cannot operate in fear. He said, "Don't be afraid of what we've been called to do." That's why I say the things that I do. That's why I don't care about what system, what government, what whatever is listening. I'm not afraid of their faces. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of being among scorpions or threats or whatever. That does not bring me fear whatsoever, because I know Yah is the source by which controls all mankind, and so I don't have to be concerned about what man can do to me, because man can't do anything to me because of who I'm connected to. He's the source. So you have to understand the same thing, and you have to have that confidence to know that regardless of whatever circumstance I'm in, I do not have to fear. Because the person, the scorpion, so I'm associate the person with the scorpion. So the person, the scorpion, or that person that is a briar thorn in your life, that you may look at and say, man, this individual, may do some harm to me for whatever reason or another. It's vitally important for you to understand that because of who you belong to, they have not the authority. Your hand, your life is in the hand of God. No mankind has the authority to take that away from you, you and Yah's hand. That's why our Savior, Yehoshua Mashiach, made a statement. He said, no man can take my life, I lay it down. So when he died on the cross for the sins of our nation first and then mankind, it's vitally important for us to understand, he made statements and saying, they was like, okay, if you're the son of Yah, then come down, save yourself. You save all these people. Can you save us? Why you can't save yourself? Well, he could have called a legion of angels to come down. He's the son of Yah. But he did that to carry out the will of the Father. That's why he said, no man can take my life. I lay it down, though. I'll give it of myself, but can't no man come take it. And so it's vitally important for us to understand the same mindset. So I walk around without no fear. I have no fear regardless of where I am. Now, that's not a license to be foolish, but I walk around with no fear because I understand I am in the hand of the Creator. And if my number is not up, it don't matter if it's 10 million men coming after me. It don't matter if you can release a nuclear weapon on my house and nothing will happen to me. It won't come nigh me because I'm in the hand of the source. And the source says if the source says no harm will come to you, it don't matter. I don't care what's going on. Tornadoes don't faze me. No, nothing faze me. I don't care what's going on because I know who is the redeemer of my life. I know who has my life. You have to understand the same way. Yah is the creator of all things. He has control of all things. So nobody can take me out without his permission. And if he permits somebody to take me out, then that's for my benefit. I completely trust him. I'm in his hands. Okay? So even, so my perspective is, even death is for my benefit. Now, I'm not saying y'all will take me out. I'm just telling you how I think. Death is even my benefit. To be absent from the body is to be present with him. So why should death now be for my disgrace? Death is even for my benefit. My mindset, okay? Now, he says, don't be afraid. He says, in verse 7, speak my words. Speak what I say. He's speaking to rebellious people. He lets them know. He lets them know this thing, but this is a thing where I said, where he spoke some things to me in verse 9. Verse 9 said, when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he said, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations, mournings, and woe. Now you go in the next chapter now, and then we'll jump back into the topic here. He says, moreover, son, Ezekiel 3, verse 1 says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. The reason why there's a comprehension of things is because there are some things that Yah has put inside me for the purpose to carry out his will. So when you look at this, it's not that human by the, it's not that men study. I'm talking about now the fifth, remember when I dealt with the four methods by which you understand the scripture. I said the simple, then I said hint to something else. I said then you search it out, and then the hidden thing is revealed. Well, this is the fifth one that I was referring to when I said Yah would speak to you. He would speak to you face to face. Well, when you look at this, he was saying, okay, I'm going to put this in you. You have no clue what to say. You haven't studied for this. You can't comprehend it. So I'm feeding you this role. And when I feed you this role that's written in and out, you'll be able to say what I have for you to say. It'll be from me. It'll be by my authority. But yet, it's not. You can't understand it from the simple form. You can't understand it from what it hints to. Remember when we dealt with that? You can't understand this from researching or to search it out. You can't understand it from the hidden being revealed to you. Some things I'm going to give you, and you're going to say it, it's going to be the truth because I said you and wrote it in there on your heart to speak it when the time is right, and I send you. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by this. I'm going to mess with my baby girl now. We were coming. I had went picked up from work last night, and I said something to her. I can't remember what it was, but sometimes I play with her a lot. And, you know, I'm always playing with her, but sometimes she gets kind of agitated. She's like me in a lot of ways, and so sometimes, you know, I'd be like, okay, I want to play it. Then sometimes I'd be like, leave me alone. I'm, you know, no nonsense. Well, she was no nonsense last night, and I was wanting to play. So when I picked her up, I started messing with her, and she was like, she said something, I was like, oh, don't be snapping at me. She's like, well, Daddy, you know, you know. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to ask y'all to do something to you. That's what I said. Then I left alone. And the thing about it, when I said it, I turned around after I said, I was like, okay, I know how you deal with me. Now I'm trying to take it back. You know, I'm like, okay, yeah, I said that, but you know that's my baby, so I don't really mean what I kind of said, kind of deal. But it was like, y'all was like, no, y'all already stuck it out there, and I got to do this here to bring about understanding on her part. So long story short, she texted me and said, Daddy, you know, going in the cabin, ended up breaking the glass, and they cut her hand, you know, pretty good. And I told her, I said, baby, you remember when I said that I was going to ask y'all to do something to you? I said, well, that is. You know, and I was like, when I said it, I meant it. And because I meant it, y'all was like, okay, I got to do something about it. And so I said all that to say this. That's not something you can go research. It's not something you can hint to. That's not something you can look at in the simple form. That's not something that was hidden. That was come from me saying it from a perspective of y'all writing that on my heart to make it clear to my children what they're dealing with when they try to get out of order. That there are serious consequences to get out of order from a perspective of what their father has been called to do. And that reverence can't ever get out of place because there are quick and serious consequences associated with that to the point to where once I said it, it couldn't even excuse my own job. So I'm at that stage now where I gotta be careful what I say.
Off an edge, but you learned from me.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I can't just be saying something, but I meant it when I said it, because I was like, okay, you know, you're 18 now, I'm not finna whoop you, but I'm gonna let y'all whoop you this time. I still whoop her though, but I'm just saying, I did say whoop. And so this is the thing as far as the role is concerned, but I'm saying this here. I was asking y'all, and this is how this power came about. I'm asking y'all because, you know, I mentioned it to you before that I'm like, okay, y'all, I'm having issues. I'm being transparent with y'all. I'm like, okay, I got issues with you right now, y'all. I got to be honest with you. I got issues. You know, I think, you know, you need to understand you can't hide your feelings from y'all. You can't hide your feelings from y'all, so you might as well just go and say it. So I had issues with him, so I told him, okay, I got issues with you, and this is why. I don't understand, and I said it to you before, I'm like, I don't understand why, like Ezekiel, for an example, he's having this encounter with you, you know, and you know, our father's having these kind of encounters with you where they seeing some stuff, and I'm jealous about it. I'm telling you the truth, I'm jealous about it. I'm jealous about these experiences, and I want to know why we're not experiencing it in this day and time. You know, I've had some encounters, but I'm like, no, I want some more of this here. I'm not satisfied with where I am right now. I want some more of this here, and I'm admitting that the more I read, the more jealous I get, because I'm looking at Isaiah, I'm looking at Jeremiah, I'm looking at Ezekiel, I'm looking at, you know, my other fathers, so to speak, and I'm like, okay, I want this here. I don't want this religious stuff from a perspective of these things these preachers is calling spiritual. You know, they lay hands on somebody, they fall on the floor, and they think that's anointing. I don't want that. That's baby stuff to me. I want to have some encounters so I can know exactly what you're saying and how you're moving. This is what I want, and I ain't satisfied until I get there. I'm just going to pout and be frustrated, and that's the reason why I was laying down all, you know, this morning, 2 o'clock, I mean, yesterday morning, 2 o'clock, and stuff like that, because all that stuff going through my mind. I'm like, this ain't getting it for me. You know, all the people may like what's going on and impress what's going on. I ain't impressed with me. I want to experience what my father's experience called. So verse 9 is where I'm having this encounter. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because as we deal with this topic here, there are things that we view as norm or as the norm, but it's not. It's not the norm. And so when I go back to this here, I feel like, again, a square peg in a round hole. I feel so out of place. At this point of my life, I'm feeling out of place with going on in society. I'm like, I don't fit in. And so I go on and say this here, I said, truthfully speaking, I don't fit in pretty much anything nowadays because I'm not going to say it. You know, I got people, you know, I communicate in a certain way now because I'm free. I don't have to be a preacher to watch out what I say because I'm not trying to keep a reputation. So I say stuff to make me look like crap because I want him to be glorified in the first place. And so the more crazy I look, but the most sense I make with what I write, that's even better for me because I don't want nobody to look at me and be impressed with me in the first place. I want them to look at me and say, that's a fool. And I know y'all got to be real because he's using that crazy thing right there. So that's my mindset. And so, again, I said, I pretty much don't fit. I don't fit in, you know, with pretty much anything nowadays because most stuff just isn't normal. I don't fit in business meetings. I don't fit in church settings. I don't fit in a lot of things because it's not what's norm. And the only thing I can compare to normal is Yah and his kingdom. So when I look at Yah and how his kingdom works, everything that I see is not normal. It is abnormal. It is something that that I look at with great distress or weariness from a perspective of how Yah feels. You know, it don't wear me out and don't stress me out and stuff like that. It's just that it causes me to feel a certain way because I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is not normal. Then I go on and I'm using this example, then we'll jump right into the scripture here. I said, you know, and have you guys ever seen this? You're driving down the street, and then there's this row of cars in one of the lanes that go all the way to the stoplight that you're approaching. Everybody's in this one lane, and it gets kind of confusing because you're looking at it saying, and for a minute you may be in the lane, but at the same time you start realizing, okay, why is everybody in this one lane? And there are two other lanes wide open all the way to the light. We are almost a mile back here. I'm almost a mile back, and I'm sitting up and saying, why am I in this one light? And everybody's feeling the same way, but people have gotten so used to what's abnormal that they think it's normal. And then when you get out of the lane, you know, when you get out of the lane, then somebody, it'll click for somebody else, and they'll realize it's abnormal, and then they'll get out of the lane and start doing what is normal. Well, as the children of the Most High Yah, that's how we have to operate. We have to be so in tune with Yah and his kingdom to the point to where everything that's abnormal, we got to be willing to get out of line of abnormality and operate according to the kingdom. And this is difficult to do because all of us, if we're not careful, will get caught up into the abnormal. You'll find yourself being a clone, and you all in the line out there at the mall, all because that's what everybody do for Christmas. And that's abnormal behavior. You don't think it's strange that you go shop when other folks want you to shop, instead of you going shopping because you come to the conclusion that, you know what, I want something. Everybody is doing things based upon what somebody else has done. Very few people are doing things because Yah is leading them to do. And that's abnormal. Because the scripture clearly tells us, we've dealt with it time and time again, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Yah, they are the sons of Yah. How can we be led by the Spirit of Yah when we always operate in abnormal? My son, Allen, he just came. What was it? He just came from Florida? Yeah. How many have went, you know, adopted to Florida? But how many have gone to Florida all because somebody else went? Child, they come back to all my Disneyland. Now you got to go to Disneyland. That's abnormal stuff. The society is set up to where we're nothing but clones, and we'd be surprised how much stuff we've got in trying to keep up with the Joneses. And most of the time, we don't think we're keeping up with the Joneses, but in reality, all this stuff is going on is bringing about abnormal behavior. Like I said, a lady that I trained, she's from Africa, South Africa, and what she had said was that when she first came to America, she said they didn't know anything about Christmas. They didn't know nothing about none of the holidays. They didn't have a clue about anything from a perspective of, she, well, I think, matter of fact, she said that you didn't even, where she came from, you didn't even date until you got out of high school. So, like, I got here, and here we are now trying to adjust and be like everybody in America. And you know, she was like, all my friends were dating and doing all this crazy stuff, and here I was, and I wasn't introduced to that type of atmosphere, and so I always felt out of place. Now, here's the strange thing about it. The out of place that she felt was really the norm. It's really the norm. So I said all that to say this. You have to understand that when you operate in the norm, you're going to feel out of place. You're going to feel out of place on your job. You're going to feel out of place in different cities. You're going to go to maybe other churches and stuff like that. You're going to feel out of place. You're going to feel out of place in a whole lot of areas, because if we choose to be led by Yah, we're going to be out of place when it comes down to this world. But that's the norm. All of us have to make up our mind that we don't choose to do things just to fit in. And it works perfect for me, you know. You know, that's a side to me. I always want to be different. Y'all just put different in me, and that's what I always strive to be. I'm just different, you know. I wear clothes that people won't wear because I'm just different. I don't want to get a pair of shoes everybody wearing. I want to get some that got, you know, M&Ms on it or something like that. People are like, where you get these shoes? I just like being different. Because I realize that the abnormality of things causes us all to want to be like. You'd be surprised how many preachers want to be like some famous preacher and all that. I just want to be like me. Now, God created me beautiful and wonderful, and I just want to be what he called me to be. I don't want to be somebody else. I'm just satisfied with what he created me to be. And so when you look at these things here, it's vitally important for us to understand that society is set up to make us look like we something wrong with it. This side is set up to make you the ones who are crazy. What I'm realizing is the ones throughout history that they call crazy, I'm gonna just jump out here and say it. They call Hitler crazy, but Hitler probably had more sense than a whole lot of folks. He actually probably saw what was really going on in this society, but yet he's been depicted throughout history as someone who's crazy. Maybe it's something that he saw that made him try to fight against it. Maybe that's the reason why he was fighting against it. Maybe he saw something that he was trying to prevent from happening, that's happening now. And so we deem him as crazy throughout history, and we associate events with him that prove that point. What I realize is that the thing that has been deemed something else is really the opposite of it. So you know, when I'm starting to come to the conclusion, when they call somebody crazy, you know, that's probably the person I want to hang around with nowadays. I've even looked at different videos where you have a person that was just walking what looked like to be in a building, and they had it set up to where like 100 people just come running out of the building, and the person who's walking in the building turn around and just start running with them. Don't have a clue what they're running on. Just running with them because everybody else running. And then they got the camera on them, and they laughing because these 100 people just come out of a building running, and because they see all these people running, they turn around and start running with them. But they're looking around at everybody else like, why are we running? And y'all was like, that's the difference in being led. He said, when you're led and they all come out there running like that, I can speak to you and say, run with them or keep going your course. Okay? So I'm going to read this scripture here. And you're welcome to make comments if you need to. We've dealt with this scripture before, but I want to deal with it again because I want to make a comment to bring us to the fullness of this lesson. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. We've dealt with it a lot of times, but I want to deal with it from this perspective because I have an even more clearer understanding of the verse. Matthew 7, verse 13 through 14 says, enter ye at the straight gate. We know the straight gate is narrow because our Savior is teaching us a concept. He's teaching us a concept on how, in a nutshell, the kingdom operates. And so you have to realize this. That's why I said a little bit earlier that there are abnormal things happening, and this is why you need to understand, we need to understand this lesson. There are abnormal things happening. There are children and parents who are not getting along. There are siblings who are not getting along. All these things are abnormal, but at the same time, the scripture points out that these things must take place because of how the kingdom operates. So this is vitally important for you to understand. So that's why I'm laying in the bed all that morning, and I'm weary because I understand what the scripture says. But like I said, I just want to gather up everybody and say, come on, y'all, get this. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 says, enter ye at the straight gate. Straight means narrow. Yah says to us, through our Savior, he said, now, when you, in order to get this, in order to become what I've called you to become, it's not a wide path. It's narrow. He said, that's the path you look for. So when you're operating in this society, you don't look for what the masses is doing. The Bible tells you to look for the narrow path. There's a path that is narrow. And so it's vitally important for us to understand, when we see everybody doing it, that ain't path. If you see everybody flocking to something, that is not the path. Because he lets us know that the path that belongs to him, I'm trying to keep from getting ahead of myself, it's narrow. I'll say that right now. Okay? He says, enter ye at the straight, narrow gate. For wide is broad. For broad is the gate, and broad, wide. For wide is the gate, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. Destruction is ruin or loss. He says, understand a concept. When everybody's doing it, that's destructive. He said, because anything that has to do with me, the path, there's not a lot of traveling on paths that has to do with me. And I'm using myself for example. That's what makes me different. That's what makes me know my path is right, is because the things that I say, not all preachers are saying it. The things that I say is a narrow path. Everybody's talking about how to go get your stuff. Everybody's talking about 5 points of marriage. Everybody's talking about all these other things on how to make church work and all these. Everybody's talking about that. But there is a path where Yah said is mine, he says, not travel upon. It's narrow. Narrow space. Wide is the path. Wide is the way. When you see everybody going in that direction, you need to stop. When I find everybody teaching on a certain doctrine, y'all said, you stop now. You stop and you tune in to me, because everybody's talking about this particular topic now. I want you to understand, I don't deal with everybody. If you got all these preachers talking about the same topic, that's to let you know that something going on ain't right. Because Yah said, when I come with something, he said, the path is narrow, and you don't hear. You when I speak words, you don't hear it nationwide. The mere fact that you hear prosperity messages nationwide is enough information to let you know that ain't Yah's path. But everybody's talking about how to go get your house, your car, and your this, your that. How to live your successful life and 5 points of how to be married and how to be happy and all this kind of stuff. Everybody's talking about that. Y'all said, ain't my path. It ain't in the straight gate, narrow gate, but wide, broad is the gate, and broad, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. In other words, he said, many actions lead to that challenge. When you find everybody challenging into something, I just saw it, so I got to say it. When you see everybody challenging in to Oprah, run from Oprah. When you see everybody challenging into a specific place, you need to run from that place. Because the mere fact that it's challenging in, now you understand why I say I'm preaching to the remnant. I ain't preaching to everybody because everybody can't challenge in on this road. So I'm not concerned about trying to get some great big old church that's going to fit 10,000 people or more, because I know that's a wide path and not everybody going to chime in. What I'm talking about, we will have a whole lot of seats left if we had a 10,000 seat auditorium. Be a whole lot of empty seats, because the path of the kingdom, not too many people traveling on. See what I'm saying? So I'm like the Savior now. I teach from a perspective, and the smaller things get, I'd be like, okay, this is the remnant. Only the remnant coming through this gate. And there ain't many coming down this road. Only the remnant can get his preacher. You get a whole lot of people may run across, but only the remnant gonna hear. Now the remnant could be 10,000. But when you look at it in comparison to the whole number, it ain't that many. So my perspective is it's totally different. That's why I'm not looking for quantity. I'm looking for quality, because I know only quality going to follow this path. He says now, and many there be which go in therein. Many action lead to this channel. So I don't get discouraged when people don't want to hear me. I don't get discouraged when I write things and post it out for the masses to read it, but very few people check live. Or I get, you know, other people that share it. You know, I get a lot of people that read on it and different people say things like that, but I'm not impressed with the numbers. I know the quality is out there. If I can get three to grab a hold to it and say, I got that preacher, then you're on the path. See, we will have members that will come from the north, south, east, and west, but they will be the one who are chosen by God to be the remnant. Not anybody going to join this church. You go look in Acts chapter 2, and the scripture points, I believe it's Acts 2, scripture points out that not everybody joined themselves to that church. They had 3,000 people to join, were added to the church in one day, 3,000 people. But the scripture also said, not anybody or not. Some of them said, I can't fool with that. Okay? And so, as you go on and look at it here, it says now, because straight is the gate and narrow. Now, this narrow word here, it blew my mind when I really started to look at the word, allow Yah to show me what this word is. I kept saying, there's something in here, you know, and Yah was like, okay, look at this now, because it says now, straight, narrow is the gate. So I'm saying this to you, as you are on this narrow gate, this narrow way, here's what the Bible says, and narrow, see, straight, is the gate, narrow is the gate. We're all on a narrow path when it comes down to the kingdom. But then it says now, narrow is the way. In other words, if you get on this narrow gate, if you go through this narrow gate that not too many people can go through, then your path or your journey is going to have tribulation. See, let me go back up now. He says, now, enter ye in the straight gate, narrow gate. He said, for wide is the gate. See, when you go through a wide gate, it is now, when you go through a wide gate and a broad way, so a wide gate and a broad way has an association with the narrow gate and the narrow way. When we go through a wide gate, our way becomes easy. You can get the business deals. You can go and get a building renovated just like that. Because as you go in the wide path, then you're in there with everybody that's willing to do all the things that's necessary to keep the foolishness going. So when you choose to take a wide path, well, compromise, however way you want to put it. Remember, we're talking about the abnormal has become the norm. When we choose to do the abnormal, everything is easy. From the perspective of us, I could have had this building finished a long time ago if I had taken the wide wide gate. There were people saying, they were telling me, look here, we'll give you how much money you want to. All you have to do is do what we say. But boy, that building ain't nothing. That's a small building compared to what we're willing to give you to build. All you have to do is do what we say. That's a wide path. I mean, that's a wide gate that I could have went through, and my path, my journey would have been easy. So I could have been sitting around smoking cigars saying, y'all, look at this big old place we got in. It's real nice and all that. We don't have a thing to worry about. But that's what some of these preachers are doing. They're taking that wide gate, and they have a wide path, and so everything they touch turns into gold. But it brings about ruin when it's said and done. It's going to lead to a path that they don't want, they really don't want. That's why when you look at the music industry and stuff like that, and they take the oath, as they say, they take the oath, they be like, man, you know, I like what is his name? Who was saying, you know, I got a few toys and all this here, you know, a Happy Meal. Yeah, Kanye West, he was saying, he said, I sold my soul to the devil. He's like, but I got a few Happy Meals and things like this. But he's like, yeah, this ain't all what it's up to be. Although I do got a few Happy Meals and a few toys and stuff to play with. Man, when it comes down to it, this is a bad deal. And see, that's the way things was being approached to me on that wide gate that was going to make the way easy for the ministry. It was going to be misery because I was going to put ourselves in a position where I was going to always be controlled by some man. But as you read the scripture here, it goes on and says this here now. It says the straight, which is narrow. Narrow is the gate. When you go through a narrow gate now, there's a narrow way. The narrow way is not easy now. When you choose to go through the narrow gate, then the way now is tribulation. That's why Satan says that they will persecute you for my name's sake. They're going to hate you for my name's sake. That's tribulation associated with the narrow gate. When you go through the gate, when you go through the gate, or when you operate according to the kingdom of Yah, there are plenty of people out there who's going to, for whatever reason or another, cause tribulation in your life. It don't matter how much you love people, they're going to hate you. It don't matter what you try to do for people. People are always looking at different angles for whatever reason or another to try to bring you down. You be surprised. When I think about stuff, From the spiritual perspective, when I allow Yah to allow me to see what things are going on from a perspective of this narrow gate that I've gone through, there are people who are looking for my destruction. Family members, so-called friends. There are people who are sitting around and they're waiting. They're looking for the day. Now, I'm saying this about me, but I'm talking about you, too. There are people that smile in your face that you may communicate with. They may be family members. They may be friends or whatever. But you know what? When they get off the phone and talk to you, they say, yeah, I can't wait for that joke to fall. That's why I keep calling and checking. I want to see your destruction. There are people looking for this preacher here to fall because I've jumped, and I love jumping out there allowing God to do some things because I know that I'm in his hand, but you have people who don't understand that. And so their mindset is, I'm going to look for his destruction, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help it. This is what the scripture is saying here. When you go through the narrow gate, then your way now is suffering tribulation. The method by which you travel, when it comes down to the comparison as far as this world is concerned, there will always be tribulation. There will always be somebody, for whatever reason or another, that's identifying you as something that's crazy, as something that, you know, they're going to always identify you in a perspective that is not the truth. So I'm going to say it this way, and then I'll get ready to close. It says now, because straight, narrow is the gate, and narrow. Suffering tribulation is the way. When you live for Yah, you're going to have challenges in this world. Whether that's on your job or whatever, you're going to have challenges. But what did I say? He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome them all. You always come out victorious. But I'm just letting you know tribulation is going to come. Okay? Then it says, suffering is the way. It says, which leadeth to life. In other words, when we choose a narrow gate, it brings us in a position where we suffer tribulation. All of us can admit we're going through something in one fast or another. We go through tribulation, but it says through that tribulation, it leads unto life. In other words, moral understanding which leads to righteousness. That is the key to righteousness. Christ said, if you suffer with me, you're reigning with me. You got some people want to stay here and rule and reign with him, but they don't want to suffer with him. And so you get some people that say, well, Christ, Yehoshua, Mashiach, he died for all our suffering, so we don't have to suffer. Not according to the scripture. Scripture talks about manifold temptation or many temptations because of who we are. We've chosen to go through the narrow gate, so there are going to be things that happen. It may be loved ones, it may be friends, it may be things on the job, it may be whatever. I'm not saying there's anything specific you have to look for, but understand when those challenges come, it's because you're on the narrow, you went through the narrow gate. Understand that. And then maybe your loved one. Understand when that stuff go down, it is because you're on the you went through the narrow gate. And because you're in the narrow gate, they not going to come through there, so all they can do is come at you for whatever reason or not. And so that's why it's vitally important for us to understand now. And then it says, I'm going to read it again. It says, because straight, narrow is the gate, and narrow suffering tribulation is the way which leadeth unto life. Life here is Zoe life. That's what it means. That's my granddaughter's name, Zoe life. In other words, moral understanding which leads to righteousness. The God kind of life, Zoe life. Okay, moral understanding which leads to righteousness. It says that few be there that find that. Few people go through the narrow gate and find the life that leads to righteousness. Everybody else just pretended. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, you run into those people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everywhere they got Jesus in, they want to pray and lay hands on everybody and all this kind of stuff that's going on. It looks so spiritual. But God's saying, that is not me. That's not righteousness. So simply speaking now, the few, all of us who've gone through the gate, the few who have moral understanding which leads to righteousness, narrow way. The few of us who have moral understanding which leads to righteousness, the normal. We are normal. It seems like we're a few who have gone through the gate, but God is saying to us, he wants us all to be encouraged to know that we are the norm. Everything else is abnormal. The few who have moral understanding which leads to righteousness, the norm, will suffer troublesome times because the many will perceive them or perceive us as abnormal. The reason why you have issues on your job is because people look at you as abnormal when in reality you are the norm and they're abnormal. So they all sit around and hug up when you come around or when you go out of the office or whatever, everybody's huddling up trying to figure out what you're doing because they're the abnormal and they don't understand what it is about your life that makes them hate itself. You've gone through a path that they cannot enter in. So they look for your destruction. That will never happen. Because only the wide path leads to ruin. Yah said, I'll do whatever I can to take care of you as being on the narrow way. You who are on the narrow way, you never have to be concerned about destruction. Those are the ones that's on the wide path. Notice, everybody around you who call you abnormal, but in reality they are, if they keep on coming down your street, so to speak, things happen with them. You just keep right on rolling. So you can't fret yourself. Think about, I believe, Psalm 37. And you can't fret yourself because of evildoers. Because they come. You have to understand that as a child of Yah, people are going to come at you. Circumstances are going to come at you. You're going to experience some trouble sometimes for whatever reason or another. But you got to understand that you'll overcome everything. You'll overcome all those things. They just come with the territory of having chosen the path of righteousness that leads to moral righteousness. It just happens that way. So it's vitally important. So what I said at the end of this here writing, I said, you know, word for the day, I said, stick out like a sore thumb because that's the norm. I listen to going to business meetings and don't fit in. I listen to going to churches, you know, whenever I visit churches, talk to preachers in cities and things like that and don't fit in. Because I know this way is narrow, not a path. You know, you had a lot of people who have become the few in numbers for whatever reason or another, but it turned into a cult. You know. So the balance that you do have, cult-like activities where people are on a narrow path and they think they are the source. But everything we deal with a precept upon precept, line upon line. That's the difference. We're not pulling doctrine out of the air and saying, here, this is what makes us elite. That we're just getting in the scripture, pointing out what the scripture says about us who are willing to go through the narrow gate. Okay. Any questions or comments? Anything? Not? I'm going to go ahead and stop here. Anything? We're good. That's up. Okay. We'll go ahead and stop here. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today. And we just thank you for leading us into another facet of understanding of your word. We just ask you to always lead and guide us in truth. We need you in every way. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty, that's all I have.